Welcome to Picks with the Professor, the show where a real statistics professor gives you sports betting tips. Jake, we are coming off of a 3-0 show day.
That's no pressure.
Fun. Yeah, no pressure, right? To see if we can do it again. I was, you know, on a normal Saturday, we've sometimes done 4 or 5 games because there's so many good ones. And obviously there are today, there's just a fewer number to choose from. And so I thought, I woke up this morning, I was thinking, you know, we might, if we do like 4 games, you know, I can make a joke about how we can't go 3-0 because there's 4 games. No, we're doing 3 games. We can go 3-0. If that is off the table, then something really weird happened. I don't know how to avoid it, except for the fact that we could push, obviously, but whatever it is, we still have the opportunity to go 3-0. It seems like today, which would be a fun way to wrap up the kind of regular season, conference tournament season. I don't know if you call it. Yeah, it's like postseason, but it's not. It's kind of like 50-50. You know, obviously, selection show will be, 36-ish hours from now. We'll find out, you know, who's in, who's out, where everybody's going. And next week, of course, we'll have a lot of shows. I don't know the exact schedule yet. So if you were, you'll have to tune in and be surprised at what we do. It'll be a surprise to you and me both. But we'll do some stuff for sure. Throughout the week, we'll, you know, be covering the first 4 games. Like always, we will cover the NIT and the CBI and the LMNOP as well, as those get going, usually a little bit later, as well. And of course, I have all of the picks and projections and plays of the day over on Dub Club, so you can check that out if you have not yet. Again, if you're new with us, you know I have built a mathematical model that helps guide us through. And you're going to talk about that today. A ton of great action throughout the day. A ton of trophies to be handed out today, and we're going to talk about 3 of those title games. Starting off with 6 p.m. Eastern, New Mexico and San Diego State. Jake, I'm just excited that the Mountain West is good again. When it's not good, it's sad. This is a very fun basketball conference, and the fact that these teams, here, 2 of the best teams in the conference have made it to the title game, and you know there have been so many other good teams as well, you know, throughout the season here in the Mountain West. New Mexico and San Diego State will be battling it out here. I don't know what to say about these two teams. They're both really good, and that's part of the reason why we're on New Mexico at plus 120 is just the plus odds. Sideline does give a slight lean to New Mexico, says they win 54% of the time. Even if that's closer to 50-50, this is a game where I don't know what's going to happen. It should be fantastic to watch. Plus 120 gets it into the Ager category. It's one of our favorites, the WTF game, wrong team favor. Jake, tell us more.
Look, these teams split the regular season. New Mexico got about both games weren't necessarily that close. I think New Mexico won by 18-ish and San Diego State won by 11-ish, both on their home courts. And both teams limped into the conference tournament, but they're probably the 2 most talented teams in this conference. So I'm excited to see them play. This game is going to depend on the turnovers. New Mexico does not turn the ball over, and San Diego State typically does, but then they force enough on the back end to make up for it. And both teams play at a faster pace, so it's going to be a fun game to watch. Both San Diego State's offense, I think, is what's going to catch up here, especially they're not that great for the free throw line. They are terrible from 3. They don't shoot that many 3s, but you're going to have to score in this game to win with the pace that New Mexico wants to play. I just don't think San Diego State's got the offense, especially if we are – getting plus 120 here. I really think this is a great play because I think there's more chances New Mexico wins than San Diego State, but I don't think there's a lot of difference. So I definitely wouldn't lay any points or take a big a minus in front of the number. I'd play whoever was the plus money play.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, just to highlight a couple of things that you had mentioned on there about the 2 best teams in the conference, and Sideline would agree with that. As you can see there on screen, having them at 23 and 36 overall across the country. Nevada, Colorado State, Boise State, Utah State, all very good teams ranked, according to Sideline, in the 40s and 50s. So you got six teams in the top 60 here in the Mountain West. So a very strong showing from them this year. But the two best, according to the model, and according to a lot of people's eyeballs as well, in the title game makes for a lot of fun. But you can see on screen, just like you talked about, San Diego State's offense being potentially the weakest link here. Of course, their defense is really good. But their offense, if it's lacking behind, could be the difference maker. I think about this game a lot like the NC State Virginia game that we had yesterday. And of course, it's great to talk about that since we had it as an A grade and it cashed for us. But part of what we talked about with that game was the true coin toss nature of it and the plus odds and saying it's going to work out for us more times than not. And I like to remind people as every season ends, just because the season's ending doesn't mean we want to throw our principles and our guidelines out the window, because the season might be ending, but we're about to roll right into baseball. You know, if you decide this is the last day I'm ever going to gamble, I guess you can throw whatever you want out the window, right? Because it's a little bit of a different story. But assuming, you know, you're watching this show and you're thinking you're going to want to bet on this, you're going to bet on the tournament, you're going to want to bet whatever, and you keep going, we have to keep in mind the same things, that in these 50-50-ish games, these plus odds, they're going to work out for us half the time. They're not half the time, but the plus odds are going to slowly build or bankroll, which is what's important. And you saw it as a perfect example in that NC State-Virginia game last night. NC State was lucky to get it to overtime. You could say that Virginia had the slightest of edges in regulation, because even though it tied, that was a pretty lucky shot to get it to overtime. Then NC State had the edge in overtime. It balanced out to, again, a pretty coin toss game. Now, plus odds worked out for us there. And again, they're not going to work out for us every game. Every plus odd we pick is not going to win, unfortunately. But the principle being, make sure we're playing good prices. And it doesn't matter if it's day one of the season or day, in this case, in minus one before we head to the true season. We want to make sure we're playing things smartly. And New Mexico plus 120 is a fantastic pick. I'd probably want slightly bigger plus odds for San Diego State, but I like exactly what you said, that really is just about plus odds. Anything can happen in this game. We lean slightly to New Mexico. So the fact that we lean towards New Mexico and the plus odds makes us a great 1-2 punch for a great value. But again, as always, people, remember, shop around. Have yourself 3 or 4 books. You don't need 10. You can. You're probably going to get diminishing returns. Make sure you're looking around for the best price, especially in these moneyline games. The difference between 5 cents here, 10 cents here can make a large difference. If you haven't checked them out yet, shop around at BetUS. Sign up link in the show description to get you 125% bonus on your first ever 3 deposits. Might want to check that out if you haven't yet.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first 3 deposits. Plus, 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
That'll take us to Marquette and UConn battling it out for the Big East title. And, you know, kind of as we mentioned in the previous one right here, the two best teams in this conference as well. UConn, probably the best team in the country, you know, at this point. And we loved them last year going into the tournament and said, you know, hey, they were probably seeded appropriately last year because of that midseason whatever swoon that happened. But heading into the tournament, we had them power rated as one of the top 4 teams in the country. And this year has been no different. They did not have that swing. They struggled a little bit when Klingon was injured. Obviously, he is extremely important to that team and the way they operate. But they have been full strength for, you know, 80% of the season, and they've looked like by far and away the best team for at least half of it. Marquette provides some unique challenges with the way that they play, so that can always make it interesting. But we're not actually going to talk about the side. I think it's priced relatively well here at what I'm seeing right now is 8.5. Sideline says 8. Some of the other advanced metrics and models out there might say a little bit less, but I think they're missing just how strong this UConn team is. I think the side's priced pretty well. I don't know how that plays out. And obviously, we don't know how anything plays out. We can't predict the future. But in general, we think the total is a pretty strong play here. We're going to go over 141. A minus grade. Sideline says 148.5. We're thinking more upper 140s rather than lower 140s. And yes, UConn plays at a slow pace. But you saw yesterday, it wasn't really the pace that got so many points in that game, especially in the first half, though it fairly well carried into the second half. It's that UConn is so dang efficient on offense. You can see it on screen, according to Sideline, number one in the country. Marquette wants to speed you up, and we talked about Marquette taking them with the under against Villanova a couple of days ago. Marquette is a team that if they can't speed you up, the game can go slow. But if they can speed you up, there can be extra possessions. Marquette going into this game has to be thinking hyper speed, try to speed UConn up, because if you play UConn's game, they're going to destroy you. So Marquette has every incentive. Again, we talk about UConn's offense, defense top 10 in the country. Marquette has every incentive to get quick buckets, go in transition, to really try to make UConn uncomfortable. On top of that, UConn's incredibly efficient offense can say, who cares what the pace is? They can put up a ton of points. The average college basketball game has been around the mid-140s. These tournament games have dropped more towards the low 140s. So the books are saying this plays like an average game. But anytime you have these type of offenses, you have to think there's a greater than average chance of it being an above average scoring game. Jake, what is your thoughts on it?
Yeah, Marquette's going to be Marquette to have a chance in this. And that means fast chaos. Go, 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 go. Because that's just Shaka Smart's style. It's so much fun to watch, especially like, and then when this Marquette team's fully healthy, when you got Kolek and Jones and Iguodaro and all that, they can put up a fight. They can really get going. They force a lot of turnovers. I think about 21-ish% of their opponent's possessions are in Big East play are ending with a turnover. Free throw line's going to hurt for them because, I mean, that's how if you're asking me how I would attack or Connecticut, is I would speed them up and try to get to get clinging and everybody in foul trouble. Yeah. They're a sub 70% free throw shooting team, so that's going to hurt. But even if Connecticut drives this game and it goes slower, more Connecticut style, that offense is so efficient, so good. They're the best 3-point shooting team. They're the best offensive rebounding team in the Big East. I mean, they just find open shots all the time. They also have the best assist to field goal made ratio. I mean, this offense is just the best at everything, maybe. I don't know. It's incredible. They actually seem to be more efficient than they were last year at the same time. And Marquette's not going to be able to do anything. The fact that this is being graded out as like an average scoring game is ridiculous to me, because Connecticut is going, even if they drive the game, it's slow, but they're going to score almost every possession. And then Marquette's going to be struggling to speed this game up. And the way that typically goes, especially with how Marquette likes to play, is quick shot, come back, play defense for a while. Well, that's only going to help Connecticut's offense, because it's going to give them more possessions. And it's just, I don't get this game being set where it's at. I think this stands a good chance to be in the mid-150s.
The last time these two teams played, it landed right at 141. And so it seems like it's a little bit of an overreaction of the books of just saying, here's what happened in the last game. And rather than saying, you know, what we always talk about, right, which is that one game, anything can happen, and we shouldn't necessarily say that's going to be a perfect predictor going forward, especially when you consider the fact that, you know, it kind of like we talked about with Marquette Villanova, where we said those previous two games had gone over. And we said, yeah, but thinking about this one, Villanova, knowing their situation, probably going to say we cannot try that again. And then it swinging to the under. It's not to say that, you know, the first two times a team plays, if something happens, that the same thing can't happen the third time. It's not to say it's going to flip anything. That's not necessarily true. It's just saying we want to not overreact. We don't want to underreact as well, but there's nothing about this matchup specifically that screams it's going to go under, just like the first two matchups did, especially when you consider in the first game, UConn blew them out and Marquette just couldn't score at all. If that happens, I mean, again, with any pick, right, we say there's no locks in gambling. There's no guarantees anything can happen. So if UConn blows them out, it is what it is. I'm not sure there's going to be a blowout here, specifically because while Marquette is without Kolek, of course, and he is their best player, Marquette has a lot of depth. We've been talking about this a lot on the Discord this week, that Marquette's still a very good team. I said this from the very start when they played Villanova, like, don't sleep on this Marquette team. They can replace him easier than almost any other team can replace a really good player. That's not taking anything away from him. It's to say they just have a lot of depth. It's more about the other guys than him. And Marquette's just a really solid, good team. As long as they hang around, just like you said, if they want any chance at all, they have to try to speed this up. And so we have to think about who's going to try to do something with the pace. UConn doesn't want to get sped up, but they're not quite like Villanova, where Villanova is just, we are not going to get suckered into your game if we can help it. They're not the Virginia style like that. UConn has no problem playing in a faster paced game, as we saw here yesterday with yesterday's game against St. John's being a pretty average pace, which is a lot higher pace than they normally play at. So as long as we can get an average pace with these offenses, like you said, this mid-150s is very possible for this game. So you're over 141, A minus grade, which takes us to our sneak peek of what you can get at Dub Club. And look, we got two bonus games for you. They were right next to each other. And so I figured, hey, you want to see some action? There's the action preview. If you want to see some action, there's the preview game for that title game as well. But again, you get a table full of every game. You get information on every game. Pace, offense, defense, ranks, efficiencies, projections, thresholds for different things, all sorts of goodies over there on Dub Club, including the plays of the day. If you sign up today, $5 off your first month with the link in the show description, or if you're with us on YouTube, just scan that QR code. We'll take you there as well. And then we will wrap up here today's show with Oregon and Colorado. I don't know what to say about Colorado other than they've been very confusing all season. The model has liked them all season. We've been fairly ride or die with Colorado. We have died sometimes, including a game where we had them on the money line around even money, and they blew like a 20-point lead or something ridiculous. They've had a lot of injuries this season. Even when they've been healthy, it's almost seemed discombobulated where they, you know, you can't get the right guys on the court at the same time. They don't know how they're playing with each other. It's been seemingly a lost season for Colorado. And I don't mean that because at this point they're almost assuredly going to make the tournament, but a lost season in that this team could have really, you know, and obviously it's great for them being able to play for the Pac-12 title, but this team could have gotten into the tournament as a 4 or 5 seed and done so much better. But with all the injuries and everything, it's got to be frustrating if you're a Colorado fan. But hey, at the end, where you are now, can't complain about being in the title game. Oregon, not a bad team. I just don't think they're a great team. And I really think this Colorado team has been underrated. Sideline says 3 out of 4 times Colorado wins. That makes minus 125 a B grade. Only B grade because we reserve the A grades for the wrong team favorite games. Simply because laying odds, laying points in college sports is a scary thing. And so I really do like this play. And it's close to even money. It's just that, you know, we like our plus odds and our points a little bit better because college sports are so unpredictable. We just don't want to get in the habit of playing too many favorites. But in general, this being near even money is completely mispriced. In my opinion, this number should start with a 2. We love Colorado. We've been ride or die with them all season long. Jake, you gave out conference tournament winners that you liked. Colorado at plus, what, 450 or so was one of them. If you're holding a Colorado plus 450 ticket right now or something in that ballpark, I know you are, you got to be feeling pretty good about this. So that's just to get another reason to be with us on Dub Club is things like that. But Jake, you've got to be smiling at seeing Arizona lose to Oregon, knowing you're holding that Colorado ticket, thinking the path is there for Colorado to cut down the nets. We'll see if they can do it tonight. B-grade pick on the Buffaloes. Tell us more.
This Colorado team seems to finally have been playing healthy for a while. Like, if you go back to the USC game, they won a double overtime. They've been on a roll since then, really handling most of the teams they played, they including beating this Oregon team. They actually swept this Oregon team this year. Conference tournament hasn't – I mean, Washington State put up a fight. And
they tried to pull away from Washington State. Washington State hung in there, to their credit, really well in a game that they could have gotten blown out in.
Yeah, I mean, I like this Washington State team, but Colorado with like Cody Williams playing, he's been on and off the court so much. He is he's going to be a lottery pick. The guy is that kind of good. KJ Simpson, very good. Always forget about Eddie Lampkin. on this Colorado team. Like a couple years ago, him at Kansas State was incredible, and then he just TCU. Yeah. I mean,
he was instrumental in TCU as an 8 or a 9 seed. I think they just was it Gonzaga that they gave them like a run for their money, took them really. It was one of the one seeds.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Which one. I mean,
he was
a very good player.
Yeah, he was like half of the reason that they did that, and he was carrying that team. He's a big boy down there, and he got an incredibly important rebound at the end of that game. And you can see she just like a man among boys, just being like, "I'm getting this rebound. You aren't getting around me. You aren't getting over me. Nothing like that." And having that big guy down there can be a difference maker for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't watched a lot of Colorado games and stuff like that, think DJ Burns from NC State. Almost the same exact build, just and same great footwork and lack of jumping ability. But Oregon, on the other hand, man, I don't like.
We aren't video game players. You can't just max out all the abilities, right? Unfortunately.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's. I mean, guy's incredible player. He doesn't have to jump that high. He's 6'11". He's fine. I really don't like this Oregon team. They've been hot, cold all year. Altman seems to have had real trouble figuring out what buttons to push this year. Because, you can't even call it a home road split. They've got almost as many road wins as they do home wins. It's just the defense isn't there. The offense isn't good enough to pick it up. They don't turn the ball over a lot, but man, they do not shoot the ball well. They're also not the best rebounding team. I know they've won 3 games here in a row, beating a good Utah team in the regular season. Then I don't know if we want to call a UCLA a good win, but beating Arizona definitely is. I just think they might have won their conference championship in their heads last night, and we can take full advantage of that with Colorado for the actual championship, because it's really hard to go against who I see as the 2 best teams in this conference and win both when you've struggled all year.
Yeah. And for Oregon, you know, this is a game that they're going to have to win in order to make the tournament. And so, you know, there's some argument that, you know, they'll be able to bounce back or whatever, but I think it's less about the hangover effect and more just about, like you said, it's hard because you take the body blows, you take the, you know, you kind of, you know, and not to say Colorado's not tired as well, you know, affecting the legs or whatever, but just it's tough to beat a team back-to-back days, 2 good teams like that, because you so much of what you got in that. And beating Arizona is very, very difficult. And so that kind of adds an extra like cherry on top to all of this for Oregon to have to beat the 2 best teams. And if they do, you know, they will absolutely be deserving of that tournament bid because – it'll be 2 incredible wins. And anything can happen in one game, anybody get hot and cold, right? The things we try to remind people all the time, which I preach responsible gambling, because, you know, this is a long run type thing, not a like we're going to go one day and you know, become millionaires overnight, right? Because sports are unpredictable. But in general, this price is as if these 2 teams are relatively similar. But like you said, Dana Altman just hasn't quite been able to figure this team out, which is kind of crazy to say. As a Baylor alum, of course, I'm very well acquainted with Scott Drew and the wizardry that he has pulled off at Baylor. And I think Dana Altman's kind of a similar situation, right? Where some years are a little bit more up and down and Baylor's had the same sort of thing. But for the most part, you know, you trust Scott Drew to figure out and get the most out of his guys. And most years he does. And they tend to overperform and whatnot. And Altman's kind of been the same way to Oregon. He's been so good for so many years, overperforming. In the years where they're down, he figures something out late or whatever. But it, just like with Scott Drew at Baylor, it's been a couple years where they've landed in the NIT because they just couldn't quite get it together. And that's kind of how this Oregon iteration is. It's nothing to take away from Altman. It's just more of a surprise that he hasn't figured it out because he's just done so well with so many other Oregon teams that this one being a little bit of a just can't quite get it together, not the right pieces, is a little surprising. But you've seen it all year with their inconsistency, that they've had times where it's looked like they've turned it around and they're going to compete in the Pac-12. And there's times where they look like they are more middle of the pack or sometimes even bottom of the pack. And so you never know which Oregon you're going to get. You got good Oregon. yesterday against Arizona, and that was a lot of fun if you're an Oregon fan, of course. And it's not to say that they can't do it again. It's just to say this Colorado team is also really good. We don't want to overreact to that Arizona win. And remember that this Colorado team, a lot of those losses came because of the lack of health, the lack of chemistry playing together, all those issues. And then whatever it was that they 20-point loss where they, you know, had too many orange slices in the locker room at halftime, whatever that might have been. But this Colorado team's still really, really good. We love them here to wrap up the free pick show. There's your recap slide, more picks and the plays of the day over on Dub Club. Jake, any parting words before we wrap up and head towards the postseason? No Sunday show, but again, on Dub Club, we'll have picks for the Sunday games as well.
Yeah, I wish today meant a little bit more. Like, as chaotic and as fun as this year has been with top teams going down left and right and all that, there's not been – and, I mean, I could be wrong, but there's not been really that many bubble or bid thieves, right? Like, everybody – all the little conferences that had somebody with an at-large, like Indiana State, maybe, but
that's Drake, the one, yeah.
had an argument to maybe get into, depending on how things filled out, because that's a very good team. But other than that, it's been a rather
calm. Because the other one that was very similar to that was the Sun Belt, which had Appalachian State won and gotten in, then James Madison would have been a bubble team. But as it was, James Madison winning is in, and Appalachian State, as a grid of a team as they've got, almost assuredly won't be in. So it's like you had a chance there, but that one didn't quite come to fruition.
Yeah, and then, I mean, App State didn't even make it to the championship. So it's like, it's not even there's not that little bit of drama. I'm missing that a little bit. But other than that, it's been absolutely fun turn of the season.
You've got the one we talked about in Oregon. I haven't really looked over too much to see how many other ones there are, but you're right. Unfortunately, it hasn't seemed quite as chaotic with regards to bid stealing as usual. You have the things like the MAC championship game and the MAC championship game that we you had the preview of there at this, you know, right after that, you have the Conference USA game, you know, and those three conferences, along with, of course, like the SWAC and the WAC and some of these, you know, the MEACs that are all wrapping up here are going to be the winner's in and nobody else is in. There's no drama there whatsoever with regards to the bubble. And then you have like the Big East and the Big 12 championship games, which both those teams are in, right? That's not to say, the Big 12 one, obviously, Iowa State and Houston, both those teams absolutely.
Fantastic game.
Oh, yes. And both those teams absolutely want to win that. Iowa State always has a chip on their shoulder in the Big 12, always treated like the little brother of the Big 12. Houston being the new little brother of the Big 12 and had a massive chip on their shoulder. Both these teams want to win it, but they're both in the tournament, right? So there's no drama there for Selection Sunday. But
maybe NC State?
NC State would be a bid stealer. Yes, that's another one. I don't see any others off the top of my head here. You know, St. Joseph's, VCU in the A-10, St. Bonaventure and Duquesne. Those are the final four there. I assume it's just a one bid league of those four teams. I don't think, or Dayton.
Well, no, Dayton. Yeah, but I mean,
more with those four.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's just been a little less drama than I would have wanted, but hey, whatever. It's fun. It's still getting great basketball. I mean, Lord. There's been a lot of overtime and double overtime games, buzzer beaters.
If you're an underbetter, you've lost some unders in overtime almost assuredly this week. If you're an overbetter, you're loving some of the overtimes because there's been a lot of them. The Big Ten tournament is interesting enough in that we almost had Ohio State get through yesterday, and they would have been a potential bid stealer as well. But Illinois, like a miraculous comeback there. I counted them out. I thought Illinois lost that game, and then they came back. So.
Illinois is a team with 9 lives, man. I don't know. They drive me nuts.
For real. And then, of course, in the SEC, A&M probably in at this point. That went over Kentucky, those first 2 wins. I have to assume gets them in unless some weird things happen. So I'm not saying that they don't want to win, but they're probably in, of course. Florida's in, Auburn's in, Mississippi State's in. So all those teams are in as well. Yeah. So, like you said, just a handful of bid thieves left, which is solidifying the bubble for some of these teams, which is good if you're one of those teams that is on the border there. So it should be a great Saturday of college basketball. Should be a fun Sunday to wrap us up. Again, bracket will be out here in about 36 hours. We'll have a bunch of coverage for next week. Stay tuned to see exactly what we do. But otherwise, best of luck this weekend, and we'll see y'all next week.